All right, so like I said earlier, in this section, one of the reasons we wanted Jason to come up is because, as I've reiterated many times today, I'm a developer, not a designer. There's some that are lucky enough to be able to do both. I guess I don't have the correct side of the brain going for me. So in this session, Jason's going to talk about the design side of the phone and different stuff that will hopefully be helpful for you to make really nice-looking applications. So please help me welcome Jason Campbell.
Man. All right. Hello. Can everybody hear me? Okay. As Daniel said, this is the talent portion of the competition. They've given me a microphone, so prepare yourselves.
Luck, if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
Ladies, please, stay in your seat. Stay in your seat. I tell you, if Vegas wasn't a desert, you'd be cutting a rug to me instead of that buble guy. I'm here today to talk to you guys who I assume are developers. Are there any designers here? Oh, we've got one. Two? Shh, nobody make any sudden movements this far outside of their natural habitats. Usually you can tell them by their funny and / ironic TV t-shirts, the pop culture stuff. And be very careful here. Well, this is great. We've got two people that I can talk to. a little bit about myself. I've been doing this for a while. This is my first corporate ID. A few years. I've been working in design, animation, interactive, user experience. And I'm really excited today to talk to you guys about something that Microsoft is done with the Windows Phone. This is a new area for us. I mean, yes, there's the Xbox and the Zune. We've done those things very well. But we're really getting into the groove here for the designers. I mean, we've all seen, you know, Uncle Steve with the developers. You know, now we've got something for designers. And this is great because there's nothing more integral to creating great experiences than this marriage of what you guys do with the magic and the code with what guys like myself and these two rare instances here in the audience, which is to marry that with a sense of style, with a sense of understanding with what the user needs to make this device sing. So where are we coming from with the look and feel of the Windows Phone? Well, we didn't start by saying, well, let's build a phone. You know, we didn't sit down and say, okay, you know, we're going to see what everybody else is doing, and we'll see if we can't maybe, you know, hit Control C, Control V. And you know, what we did was instead we looked around to see how people actually move and get things done in this world that we live in. You know, we looked at this the signage within railway stations and airports throughout the world, and you know, we drew heavily from this this rich typography and this iconography, as well as these some 40 odd years of Swiss design. This very clean, very content-heavy, you know, using the content itself as the design. And all of this has been, you know, come together, and what we have deemed Metro, which is the name for the user experience on the phone. And you can take from that title sort of the inference of the research that we did, going and looking at all of the, like I mentioned, the railway and the airport stations. Also, you know, an interesting thing for those of you that are sort of fascinated by this approach, this documentary, Helvetica. It's a film by Gary Huswit. It's available on Netflix streaming, and I highly recommend you check it out because there's nothing better on a Saturday afternoon than watching old Swiss designers trim bonsai and wax poetic about sans serif font. I tell you, pop the popcorn. Get the Snuggie. settle down. But yeah, you know, as historical as these influences have been in design, you know, even our very current, very relevant brands have been adopting it. You know, it's made its way into everything that's current. And it's not just here in the United States. It's also in, you know, in foreign countries as well, where even the very nature of their language is such a, you know, a beautiful art unto itself. They can still embrace the simplicity, embrace the use of typography and of iconography to guide the user or the you know, people like yourselves and I through environments that may seem foreign to us. Another thing that we did was we looked internally. And we did all this great research outside. You know, what has everybody been doing historically? What is what's working in all of these spaces where real people interact with the world? And then we looked inside and we said, well, what are we getting right? And we know we found Xbox. I mean, it's a uniquely entertaining user engaged experience. It's got a great ecosphere of hundreds of millions of users, and you know, we're using this platform and experience on it as sort of indications of how we might also be able to approach the interaction model on Windows Phone. And a large part of that is the use of motion. We also, of course, obviously, have a lot of success with the Zune software and the Zune hardware. And as you can see, a lot of the keys that have made its way into the Metro design are coming from this area as well. I mean, the Zune is using the user interface, but it also with the addition of touch and combining the experience with the sort of visceral interaction with the device that's really creating the overall experience. And this is going to be something that's going to be important for each and every one of you to consider when you're thinking about the design of your applications as it fits into the Windows Phone. And we've pulled together all of this research, and we pulled together you know, these principles that we were able to identify in everything that we looked at. We've got, you know, this concept of being light and simple, and you know, we had a little discussion earlier about why the gutter down the side. You know, it's, you know, there are choices that are made from a technical perspective. You know, concerns about marrying the interface to the device, and then there's you know, visual choices that we make that sort of help to elevate the content. And the use of negative space in this concept of being light and simple is a very important one to Windows Phone 7. Typography is another. And the reason why typography is so important is because that content really is the interface. You're using the text, the information that you're trying to deliver to your user as the interface. So in that case, the choice of font, the leading, the, you know, the spacing, everything, you know, culminates into a work of art in the content just using the typography. We spoke about motion and how we pulled that from the Xbox. You know, we've got some great animated transitions, you know, and you have access to these, and you can create your own. And you can, you know, you can dive into this concept of marrying the motion and the content and putting it all together to bring it to experience. And again, reiterating this content as and not Chrome. You know, we're not all about the shiny gradient buttons. We'd rather you be clicking on the text that's the content to move yourself through the application. Diving a little deeper in on light and simple, we're focusing on the tasks. We want to understand what our user is using the application for. We want to do as much as we can with as little as we can, if that makes sense. We're trying to, once again, you know, elevate the content, not pile in a ton of graphics and you know, building a frame to hold everything and to give it purpose. We want the content to do that. We want to reduce anything that's really not about elevating the content. And again, reiterating, white space. Embrace the white space. It's going to hurt. You're going to want to throw everything you got right up into that screen. I mean, you're going to think, well, it makes sense. They're not going to want to go over to this page or pivot over to this area of the pivot control. Or they're going to want to see everything right there, and you just put it all right there. I mean, just make the file a little bit smaller, and I can just make the button a little bit smaller, and it's great. It's going to be fine. It's good. I can just throw it up in there. It's not what we want. We want to embrace the white space. A little on the typography. Like I said, you know, it's not just a font. It's the content. And it's important to embrace that weight, that balance, that scale. How many of you guys have accidentally left the caps lock key on your keyboard and started IMing with a friend and they said, stop yelling at me? You know, it's so simple, you know, a thing to be able to convey, you know, an emotion or an emphasis on whether or not, you know, you're capsed or you're bolded. There's so much you can do with the typography. Motion. It's important to make sure that the experience feels alive. You don't want to overdo it. We're not looking for skip intro buttons on all our mobile applications. We just want to, you know, give it a little life. And in some cases, give it a little emphasis. If you notice on some of the transitions that we have, like when you launch an application off of the live tile screen, our little movement of this wipe, it happens on all the tiles. But there's a certain emphasis in the timing, in the animation of the application that you've engaged that highlights it as the application you're moving into. And that's something that's uniquely, you know, conveyed through the motion in the animation. Content, not Chrome. I mean, I feel like I'm going to start doing that. Content, content, content. It's what you're building the application for. You're building your application to deliver something to your user, and that is the content. Is it going to be better because it's wrapped in some beautiful gradient that goes through 17 different shades of blue? It might look pretty. You might want to hang it on my wall, but if it's impacting the content and the concept of the application, then it's not really doing it justice. Content is the UI. It's a simple principle that we're trying to do. Honest, this is something that just sort of hints to the whole underlying idea behind what we've done with Metro. We've created something unique, something uniquely digital, something that isn't a cut, copy, paste. We really want you guys to embrace these principles to carry that idea into your applications. The phone is a platform. We've given you guys a way to jump off with your application on this platform, and we're creating cues that makes the user comfortable. And by you guys embracing these cues and in placing them into your applications, you're going to carry that comfort over into your experiences as well. We're really trying to get people who see this device to walk away with some very clear perceptions of it. That it's fresh, it's clean, it's simple, it's not cluttered. It's beautiful. And what would be wrong with the new Microsoft? Everybody loves to hate Microsoft. I never in a million years, I was a kid that sniffed markers. Never in a million years would I think I'd be working at Microsoft. But we're doing something now with design, with embracing that experience. That's a new place for us to go. And we want you guys to come along with us. So this probably brings a lot about a couple of questions in your mind. when you sit down and you think about how am I going to approach my applications, thinking about these principles that we've set forth for Metro. The first question might be, well, if you don't follow these principles, does that mean your application's going to fail? Another question might be is, well, if I follow these principles to the letter, that means my application's going to be great, right? That's a simple answer for both of these questions. Now, the thing about what we're trying to do here with Metro is to inspire you. We're building an environment for the user of the device to make them feel comfortable, as I said, but it's important that you not be so devout in serving the principles that you do a detriment to your experience or to your brand. We want you to be inspired by Metro, but find the balance between what Metro is and what your application is trying to do for your company. I've got an example here, and I want you to think about this as sort of Sister Mary Frances, who's given herself and everything that she is to the principles of Metro. And then over here, you know, we got something that's a little bit, you know, I get it. We'll do a little Metro. Metro's cool. But I'm still going to look the way that I want. And it's still part of the family. So you can just get a sense that, and this isn't stretching very far. You know, this isn't pushing real far. But there's definitely a feeling of, you know, it's still part of Metro. But it's not Metro. But, you know, with all the principles, with all of the concepts, there's nothing more important than putting your user first. You want to make sure that you're concentrating on what they need. And part of that is to simplify. Like I said, it's going to hurt. You're going to want to dive in there, and you're going to want to just get it all out. And I'm going to share with this one of my favorite quotes. And the great thing about this isn't a designer. This is a French pilot. And he also wrote a book. But this quote, a designer knows he has achieved perfection not when there is nothing left to add, but when there's nothing left to take away. I think that is just such a great concept. You know, it really speaks to what we're trying to do here. You want to focus on the tasks and the individual. You want to deliver this clarity and content and function. So let's think about the mobile space, and let's think about some of the great examples of applications that have been designed. Now, we've got some really strong competitors. And we've got some competitors that have really turned this market on its ear. And, you know, they've got some really great examples of their application design. Don't put it all on one screen! Please! See, it's not about the platform. It's about how you guys work with it. Isn't this great? I love this. Okay, so, you know, we've got the concepts. We've got the principles down. That's part of the experience. And I'll get into a little bit more about those principles in just a minute. But part of this overall experience includes the device. Now, Daniel had mentioned earlier that we've set some standards. We're working with some great manufacturing partners, and they're going to deliver a multitude of devices. But the great thing about this array of phones is that you know, as a developer and a designer, that you have standards that you can expect when you sit down to develop your application. You know that it's going, initially, our first device is on the market, will be 800 by 480. We will eventually do a 480 by 320. But right now, you can expect the 800 by 480.
You can expect the 4 points of capacitive touch. You can expect the consistent processor, the consistent GPU, the same at least baseline RAM and keyboard. So that when you sit down and you conceive these experiences in total, in all, factoring everything in, you know where you're staying. So let's talk a little bit about Windows Metro and some of the stuff that you can, these principles, these guidelines that we've put together for you guys so that you know how to dive in. Touch is the experience. It's the foundation of the experience. We've got a recommended touch target size of 9 millimeters. That roughly translates into, say, 34 pixels square. Excuse me. We've got a minimum touch target size, 7 millimeter, roughly 26 pixels. We've got a minimum spacing between these elements. We've all got fat fingers. I've got fat fingers. Raise your hand if you've got fat fingers. Come on. And love the fat fingers. Don't forget about them. Make sure that you consider these things when you're laying out your user interface. We've got the visual size being about 60 to 100% of the touch target size. These are all principles that go into this concept of touch. But also, part of that is the interaction model with the touch. Gestures. We've seen, like I said, a real growth into this natural user interface with our devices. And there's certain things that we've come to understand and to expect from our interaction with these devices. And that's the gestures. You know, our tap, the double tap. The touch and hold is something that we've created. It's something that's new to us, at least in my experience. And you see that in our applications menu. When you touch and hold an application and you are presented with a drop-down menu that allows you to pin that application to the start menu. So this is sort of a new one. And that might take a little time for people to get used to. We've also got the pan and the flick and the pinch and stretch. A lot of these people are just naturally accepted and have learned. Common controls. These are the controls that are sort of drag and drop ability within the application environment. You've got your buttons, your text inputs, your date pickers and sliders. You know, there's a lot more of information about these available within the guideline doc itself. And you know, somebody that's not a developer, I mean a designer that is a developer, I should say. Again, the typography. We've got the fonts Sego Light and Sego Black. Using these sort of the default doesn't mean that you have to use them. It's just that we've put a lot of effort into finding these fonts and working with how they marry into the experience, something that we feel we've done a really good job to help elevate that content with this typography. Iconography is another one. There are several icons that are included in the experience, but you will find areas where you're going to have to dive into this aspect of the design yourselves. And here, what we recommend is to test with users, people that aren't closely associated with your application or intimately involved with its development. You want to know what the average Jane and John Doe on the street are going to say when they first look at that icon. It's so important to be able to look at those and to get a sense of what that might mean in relationship to the application and the overall experience. Tabs, you know, this here again, you know, when you think of this metaphor of tabs, you would think about this the Chrome that you would historically have done with application design or a website design. You know, you've got your rounded corner little thing that sort of harkens back to the Manila folder that we all love. You know, Here, it's content. You click on details or attendee, and you flop back and forth. Content, not Chrome. Hubs versus single-page apps. We've created some really fun interactions on this device. You've seen the panorama that Daniel was showing you earlier. This is some really great stuff, but you have to consider the user. You can't just sit down and say, I'm making a panorama. Oh, it's going to be cool. I got an image picked out. It's going to look hot. If you don't have the content, if there isn't that depth to the application, it's just a gimmick. And that cheapens it. Personal opinion. Disclaimer. So you really want to consider whether or not you've got this sort of multiple data source, deep well of information that's flowing into your hub versus, you know, perhaps a single API that you're pulling some data from and dressing up. It's not to say that there can't be some huge aspect to weather and dealing with that content that wouldn't necessarily lend itself to a hub. But you have to really make sure that you've done your due diligence to make sure that content's there so that it justifies the hub. Don't shoehorn a website. Don't squish it in there. It doesn't want it. Ugh. What's the reason for this app? Ask yourself that. Am I supporting a service that already exists? Are my users familiar enough with what I'm doing that they can take some things for granted? You know, that they know what I'm trying to do. Is there a same sort of a duplication of a service? Maybe in a case where it's a support of a service, you've got this huge amount of work that a user can do on your website or with your desktop application that allows them to do this vast array of things. But there may be only a subset of things that they need to do when they're on the go. That's what you want to build your application around. The other question is, does it stand on its own? Then you might need to dig a little deeper. You might need to consider, how am I going to divide up this content? How am I going to make it work for the user? Does it make sense to use a panorama or a pivot or one of the hubs? I played around with the Starbucks app and dropped it into a Windows look just as on a whim because I love what they did. They haven't rebuilt their entire store into an application. And they didn't build just a simple checkbox. They made it playful. When you go into the application and start building your drink for an order, it builds itself on the screen. You get to see it come to life in that little plastic cup you pay way too much money for. And it just makes it that much more engaging to the user. So again, I've did a cursory overview of these guidelines. I'm here all day, like I said, Daniel said, you know, to answer your questions. I'm here tomorrow during the labs. If you have an application you're working on, you've got questions, please, you know, feel free to talk to me about them. This is the URL, or at least it was, that I don't know, because we've got the whole app thing, UpHub thing marrying into this that's going on, where you can find these design and interaction guidelines. I highly recommend, it's not a huge doc, it's not like, you know, put the kids to bed, get into bed and just like spend the next 3 weeks reading these things. They're a quick read, it's informative, it's great to have for reference. I highly recommend each and every one of you download that. Then this, something else that I want to talk about when considering the device and a holistic experience. The styling and theming of the phone. Now, we've done a tremendous amount of work creating Metro in the hopes that you know, everybody's going to really like that interface and that design. But there's some things that we wanted to make sure the user still had control over. And some of that is in the colors themes. We have a light and a dark background theme. So a lot of the demos that you've seen today were actually on the dark theme. Each of the live tiles, as far as the device system-wide is concerned, there are colors themes that you can choose. This will affect the rendering of text, colors, as well as those live tiles. And there's a vast array of colors, with blues, orange, greens, reds. We also have a light background. And that's basically a white. And so you've got the same colors on top of the white. The reason why this is important when we talk about design and design guidelines is that when you sit down to develop your application, if you don't go in as one of your first steps and specify a background, whatever the user chooses as their themed background is going to be your application background. So if you go in and you say, I've got you manually set, through your style resources that I have to have this font in white. And it looks great on top of that black, that dark theme. But you don't specify a background, and a user switches their theme, all of a sudden that content's gone. White on white, not so much. So these are very, very important concepts. Simple and elegant. Oversize the hit targets. Oversize the hit targets. If for nobody else than me, just do it for me. There's a lot of use of the transparency. Again, with the theming, making sure that you're aware of how the choices between how the user personalizes their phone, whether it's dark or light, how the controls are automatically themed, and how the application takes advantage of those. Big, big thing to take into consideration when you're developing your application. Okay, so panorama and pivots. Eye chart. This is these are some really, really great controls. These are new, sort of new since we came to market. The developer releases really didn't have these guys built in. So we throw this in here on this and get you guys excited about this. But, it's really important, like I said, to consider how your content fits within these controls that we make available to you guys as to whether or not they make sense for your application. Some differences. Pivot will support a larger number of items because it's a simpler layout. Supports the programmatic selection for rich code behind. It's panoramas. Everybody's seen the panoramas. They make so much sense for these deep experiences. And it's just a great interaction. I don't have a lot of time. I was going to try to walk you through some expression blend. Instead, I'm just going to say, please, it's a free download. Take the time to look at it. Things that Expression Blend brings to the table that you don't get really with Visual Studio is just an IDE. It's an environment that I, as a designer, embrace because I get the visual feedback. You get the timeline, storyboards. You get to work on your animations. You get to create these all interactively, create all of your states. You get access to all the properties of all your elements. I mean, it's just such a great environment for somebody that, like myself, who, while Visual Studio is a wonderful product, don't go anywhere near it. It scares me. I'm a little frightened. I'm man enough to admit that. It scares the hell out of me. Because I don't play with the ones and zeros. So please, embrace or don't go down here and embrace these guys. Like I said, they scare easy. Embrace the designer. They are such a big part of the puzzle for you guys. Never, ever, ever think that is something that you can just handle whenever you get time. We are creating mobile experiences. This is a big part of that puzzle. So please, please, please find a designer to be a part of it, even if it's just on a consulting basis. So that's my time. I want to thank you for listening to me. I want to thank you for coming out here. I'm excited that you're excited for the platform. I'm here for any questions. If you guys want to start talking about questions right now, I'm happy to take them. Thank you. Not everybody at once, please. Character recognition. If you don't want to use the keyboard.
What do you mean by that?
He's talking about like these concepts that maybe were something that is sort of held over from Palm and back in the day. We don't actually, to my knowledge, have any of that built into the device. So
we have gesture-based stuff in an application. You can implement something yourself, but there's nothing on the device that would automatically do it, but you could implement it in your app.
Great. Well, thanks again.
All right, so we do have a couple minutes. I know we got mobbed before at the end of last session, so we do have a couple minutes for more questions, if you guys have them, that we can handle. Does anyone have leftover questions from last session? Yeah, back there. Yeah, so you can sync. Obviously, over there, you saw my phone. You saw me keep getting email addresses. With the MoFoam, it works the same way. And the difference in this version, if you've had 6.5 or before, is you can only have one email account or exchange account. You can have multiple exchange accounts on the phone. Yes? Is there any intent of supporting Silverlight within the browser? We're talking V1 right now. I have no idea on the roadmap of V2. Again, that's something obviously that I know a lot of people are asking about among the other things we've talked about, but it's not available in V1. Yeah.
How well is it, you talk about the syncing, how well is it going to work and play with Max?
How well is it going to, in what, how, so the question was?
In terms of syncing email contacts.
Oh, that's actually a great question. So. Yes, your wife will be really happy. Let me show you that on the phone. Let me see if I could plug in here. Yeah, you'll like this. I spent a little time showing off, but I didn't show you everything on the phone. The only bad thing, I think, is that I don't have any calendaring stuff on there. So within the phone itself, obviously we have Exchange integration, but we're also integrating with Yahoo and Google. So if you have a Google Calendar or a Yahoo Calendar, what happens is when you go to the calendar itself, and I'll show you that. Oh. You guys are just supposed to imagine what it looks like. Let me try it again here. There you go. So when you go to the calendar, and the way I got there, since you guys didn't see it, is you can have multiple calendars. Now, on my phone right now, I am connected to other calendars, but I didn't update any fake stuff on my other accounts to show you. But you can see what happens here. There's different views. There's day view. There's agenda view, which I like. And you notice they're all orange. I chose that color. But if you're connected to other calendars, like Google or Yahoo, it'll integrate in here, so it'll take all three calendars and combine them on one. So if you have your kids calendar in one or your home family calendar in another, it'll put it all in one place. In addition, this is one thing that's seems really simple, right? But I have a lot of questions on what can you come do a presentation on November 16th? It's always been really hard for me to say yes when I'm on my phone, right? So I can very easily on this go to the month view on the bottom here. Flip up. It's just a flick to get it. Go to the 16th, and I'm done. I know exactly what I'm doing that day. So, again, that's part of the smart design that he's talking about to make it really easy to utilize the phone in just a couple steps. Did that answer that?
Well, only so that's online. What about
the iCal or whatever that's sitting on here? Can I open up an iCal on the phone?
Or synchronize it, or however. Like if your main machine is a
So, okay, yes, so I understand your question. So right now, when you do syncing of music and all that other stuff for the phone, it's done through the Zune software, and it's only available for Windows right now. Is that your question? Okay. Yes.
Is that gutter menu specific?
Is the what?
The gutter. Is that
color? So yeah, I'll answer this one more time. The gutter will be found on every phone. I guess I've never heard it called the gutter before. You cannot customize the gutter, no. Well, no, or it's white. So there's a black theme and a white theme, and it'll use less battery if I do the white theme. So let's go to theme.
Live tile home screen,
so I prefer the
within
dark
your application there is no gutter.
Yeah, in the application
unless you put one in.
Yeah, in your application there's not a
no
sidebar. I don't like calling it a gutter. But yeah, there's a white theme as well. I just prefer the other one. This will obviously, for those of you that know, will consume less battery. White consumes less battery than black.
It's
isn't it? I thought white did.
I've heard it both ways. Honestly.
Okay, well, whichever way it is,
I honestly
that's how you do
that,
it.
That actually, because I believe it did turn out to be that the white actually does consume less battery.
See, that's why I'm not a designer, you know.
I know it makes less sense because you think it's using more of the light, you know, more energy to draw. But it's something to do with the rendering of the black pixels. It actually...
So the design documents have a lot of different stuff, down to the pixel stuff that he is afraid of Visual Studio. I'm afraid of pixels, so it's all out there. Yeah, do we have another question?
Yeah, the pixels love you.
Yeah. Yes, back there.
In-app purchases.
In-app purchase, will it be supported? So if you again, I said this earlier, and the question I'll repeat for online and remind me if I don't do it is, are in-app purchases supported? So in my understanding, it's yes, there's a line out there on the marketplace documents that talks about subscriptions in apps for purchase. And it says something about as long as it's not in the game hub, you will be able to do it. But I will defer, you know, final answer on that to how it's interpreted online, because like I said, I'm a developer, not a lawyer. But the short, quick answer is I believe so.
You may roll your own, but there is not something from us to do it currently.
Yes? Yeah, I'm going to cover try versus buy is stupid simple. I'm going to cover it in the last session. So try versus buy is something that we can do now because we have one marketplace. But I'll cover the code and everything else in the last session. Yeah.
There's an update coming in 2011 for copy and paste.
Yes. Yeah, they just announced that yesterday. And I think they said...
Sometime early 2011 is all I know.
Yeah, February?
January.
January,
see?
Copy
how early is that?
Available as an update in January.
That's pretty early.
They heard your screams, and they're going to give copy and paste. So, yes, we're here.
I don't exactly know how the model works.
So for the marketplace, we're doing the standard 70-30 split. And I always like to make sure you understand, because I do get this question. You guys know who gets the 70, right? You guys.
That'd
right?
be me.
Okay. But that's standard
right
industry. Yeah, you had a question? So is there a separate hardware integration program? Personally, I don't know of one specific, but I think that's market bound. As the phone takes off and it's sold, you know, that drives that market, right? So I don't know of any right now. I can email me, I'll find out. But like I said, the sales of the phone drives that third market. Yes? Oh, it sure does autocorrect.
It does it a little differently than the paradigms you might be used to. What we do is we offer up suggestions that you might mean in a band that goes across the keyboard.
So is that by default?
So what do you want me to say? No, it'll autocorrect too. Give me a sentence to type in.
Daniel is afraid of pixels. It's an irrational fear, one that he struggled with as a young lad. For so very long, he was afraid of the little square guys that wanted to take. You're just not typing. But you see how it's coming
up
here.
Did you see how pixels just autocorrect? So it does for some of it, but it also knows that if I wanted to. So Daniel, it didn't know, right? But if I click on pixels.
That's not how you spell Daniel?
It goes. It'll allow me to go, if I meant to spell it that way, it'll allow me to do back. So it gives suggestions and will autocorrect when it can.
Okay. And that's turned on by default.
Yes, absolutely. And you have that in your apps. I showed you just changing that input scope, change it to text, and you automatically have that in the keyboard in your app. So, yeah, back there. So, if I understand the question correctly, is there a browser control for Windows Phone 7? The question that he reiterated is there not is there a browser control, is there a very powerful browser control? And the answer is, of course there is.
Yes.
It's IE.
If I'm not mistaken, it's Internet Explorer 7 with a different JavaScript engine, but much better, faster JavaScript engine.
How about the rendering engine using the IE
7? Yeah, we've got a monkey with a chisel.
Yes, back there. Can you speak up?
The screen that I showed with the controls, those are available as defaults. Those are drag and drop. The text inputs, the buttons, the sliders, check boxes, radio boxes, all of these things are available to you using the default Metro styling. They're also available. You can also dive into those templates and make them your own. But yes, there are those controls. As far as the CSS specifications within the browser, again, it's IE7. With a better JavaScript engine, so that's the support. It's CSS3 and CSS2.1. These have all been piecemeal support within the browser. So you would have to sort of reference back to that particular browser's support of those specifications to really see what's available to you.
Yeah, we're here. Did you say IMAP?
Yeah, IMAP.
So is this that same Outlook question? Is this the same Outlook integration question from earlier?
Yes, same mechanized kind of library and IMAP.
So this is a very, very managed environment. If you did 6.5 before, we've created APIs around all the functionality for the phone.
Yeah. As I
spoke earlier, we have the ability through launchers and choosers to access the Outlook. So you don't have down to the level of IMAP and all that other stuff to access the emails coming in, to access the lists of users. You do not have that access.
Suppose if you want to make something
do you have the ability to create a web-based application either in the browser or in the web browser control to connect to a service to do things? Yes. I mean, we'd have to talk about your exact specifications of what you need to do, but I mean, general answer to that is yes. Yes, right there. Say that question again.
He wants the hardware and software specs. What's their life?
What's the lifetime of hardware specs?
Is it?
I mean, that other phone in the marketplace didn't exist 5 years ago, right? So, I mean, that's kind of a how
life
quickly will the,
rather.
Yeah, how quickly will the phone specs change?
Yes.
I mean, we're in an industry, especially mobile, that changes daily, right? But
I think the thing to take away, as far as the design guidelines and what have and this, a lot of this stuff, is that, you know, we're going to, because we are managing the software and we're handling all the updates, we're going to have support of everything we give you now. We're just going to be adding and improving, right?
And on the hardware side, we're saying what the hardware specifications are. So we're still not manufacturing. We're not manufacturing our own phones, but we're specifying what needs to be so that both of them play well together. As so, can you have, so your question really boils down to, if a phone now has a new type of sensor beyond the five that we have, because those are the hardware specifications of what they have to have, are we going to have API support for it? I mean, we're talking future stuff, roadmap stuff. I have no idea. If there's a smell sensor on the phone, are we going to support it? Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it stuff. But I understand the question, but there's not really a good answer to give. Does that make sense? You know, I can't predict the future. Yeah. Are USB devices supported? Yeah, not in version one, no.
Hey.
I'll talk about that in the last session as well. But there's five sensors, and as developers, we have access to two of them. But I'll elaborate on that in the last session. Yeah, let's just take a couple more. Yeah. Yeah, so there's deep link. So is there an API available for the marketplace? The answer is yes, to do deep linking. Obviously, with the try versus buy, you not only want to give them the ability to buy yours, and we'll cover this again a little bit later, but the ability to send them right to your thing in the marketplace. So yes, there's an API for the marketplace. Yes? Say that again?
Flick.
Does the browser support the Flick events?
I would think that any of the...
You're talking, I noticed your gesture, you're talking about the Flick event to go to back a page or forward a page where you were at?
Through the browser control?
So, I mean, it uses touch in it. I would have to really know your specific, it uses the pinch and zoom and all that stuff, right? So what's your question specifically on like this? I mean,
say you have a web application that has a great data.
Right.
I want to go to the next page of data. Can I wrap the JavaScript event and
No, these are tied into the browser. You're asking if you could use JavaScript to implement.
I would
I'd have to see more what you do. I don't know is the question. I don't think so. Obviously, you have the browser touch events and stuff that you can do. You can see the rendering, which is why I decided to show this, because I hadn't shown the browser. It's actually a browser that I can read and utilize on the phone now. You can load up six different pages at once, and when you do, they'll load. They won't be one after another. They'll load simultaneously. But that question, you know, I could dive deeper if you want. We could talk about specifics, but. Yes, way back there.
SQLite.
SQL support. So right now, to save stuff on the phone, you can use isolated storage, or there's a couple third-party solutions. SQLite, I believe, is one of them. I haven't tested it with RTM. I can check that out. But there's a couple third-party solutions you can use, or cloud-based storage for the phone. Yes? So your question is how updates work, correct? Oh, no. So it's not going through the operator. We control the updates to it. So it'll be done through the Zune. So your phone will say you have an update available. When you plug it in, it'll update it that way. Yes?
Accessibility.
Yeah. So, what is that? 506 compliance or whatever?
Yeah. I'm 503.
Yeah. Sorry. That's a good question. Besides, obviously, the Metro design theme that makes it very clear. There's not a Zoom on here. That's a great question. I will send me an email. You have my email already, and I'll ask about that stuff for the visually impaired.
Let me get this guy back here. He's been holding up for a while.
Yes. That's a good question that I do not have an answer for. The question was, I did have a slide up that said the resolution is 800 by 480, and later it'll be a second resolution sometime after launch. There's been no announcement of when, of 480 by 320. The question is, what would I have to do to update it? That's a good question, because one of the things that we are doing with this phone, not necessarily going to answer your question, but I want to talk about this because I think it's important, is on previous versions of the phone, we talked about 5 buttons, 2 buttons, different resolutions, and it was sometimes challenging to me that he could have an application in his phone that I couldn't have on my phone because of they didn't do a fork for that type of phone or a non-touch or whatever. So as developers, you will have to support both resolutions after that one comes out. The process to what you need to do to update it to support it, I don't have an answer for yet, but you will need to support it.
So are you saying it's a requirement to support both resolutions?
Yes, it'll be a requirement to support both resolutions when that come out. How that comes out in the marketplace, I'm not sure, but that's the whole point of the hardware specifications. I think he had his hand up for a long time back there. Can you hear this one?
The location support and offline storage, is that what you said?
For out of the browser. Can you say that louder?
No.
It does not.
It does not.
IE9 HTML5.
Yeah.
It will not have support for HTML5, no.
Out of the gate. We're talking out of the gate here. You know, we've been working on this for a long time. So.
We'll do one more back there. And again, we have lunch. We can answer questions later. Yeah.
There is a Find My Phone.
What's that?
He wants to know about enterprise device security.
So if you are using the phone for work through Outlook and Exchange, you have a remote wipe that you can do, just like our previous version. So your Exchange administrator can wipe the phone if someone leaves. Yeah, actually, it will automatically do it. So when, just like that works today, so if you attach to an Exchange server and it requires it, that's why I have to put, you know, it's an extra step for me. If I didn't have an Exchange in there, I could just swipe it up and it'd be done. It'll automatically enforce, if you want to, a password in the phone, just like previous versions. And one last question, and then we'll start filtering out there. Lunch is at 12:30, but that big room is really, so one last question. Is there specific criteria for...
There are content guidelines, there are design guidelines, yeah, everything's available.
It's all up on create.msdn.com. You will know exactly what it's rejected for. There's design guidelines, and then there's marketplace guidelines. and it's all in that documentation. All right, thanks, everyone. Lunch will be started at 12:30, but go visit the photo booth and the phone bar and everything else from next door. Thanks.